Can a successful career in tech lead to being a successful trucking entrepreneur? It did for today's guest. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Dom, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO. All made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. After meeting his wife at John Carroll University, YPO member Patrick Cousins declined an offer from his father-in-law to work at the family's trucking company. Instead, he began a career in high tech. This led to a successful journey through a number of tech startups, but also led his family to 5 different cities in 4 years on top of his own temporary residence in Baghdad. So after finishing an MBA at Carnegie Mellon and wanting to settle down with his family, Patrick finally accepted his father-in-law's offer and began Growing Modern Transportation, a trucking transportation and logistics company. As CEO, Patrick was named to the Smart 50 list of Smart Business Magazine and was given the Diamond Award by the Pittsburgh Business Times. He was also named an Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So you finally get convinced by father-in-law to come on and take on the company.
Right.
What was the tipping point for you?
I was working for the software company, director of our government affairs group, taking the technology into our government organizations, and I absolutely loved it. I had a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old and a wife at home here in Pittsburgh. We had moved 5 times in 4 years. They were going to want me to move to Washington, D.C., and I just wasn't ready to do that. We had gotten back home close to family, so this was the opportunity. I completed my MBA at Carnegie Mellon. And it was really the process of getting my MBA and working with some others that they said, you know, you have this opportunity to run a company, stay here with my family. So I jumped. At that time, we were about 35, 40 million in revenue when I joined. And that was in April 2006.
So your family mindset already changed. What did you have to change in your business mindset to all of a sudden run this company?
I think it was an evolution from when I graduated from college. I've been working in high tech and, you know, had my kind of ego wrapped around that. With my father-in-law, you know, he would say throughout that time, he said, just running this transportation company, making money every year, doing well. These startups you're working for, they're up and down, but here we are just making money. And going through the MBA process and just really wanting to run a company. And actually what I loved about transportation, it's a people company. Our job is done by people. And there's nothing better than working with blue-collar, hardworking, honest people that work for a living.
You are closest to the road, or your people are, in regards to the condition of infrastructure. There's a lot talked about in the media about how horrible it is or how wonderful it is. Realistically, give me an assessment. Where is our infrastructure at this point in time?
It is truly in bad shape. We as a society or as a country have been going without an infrastructure bill for over 5 years now. We're on the precipice of potentially getting one with this administration, but it still hasn't happened. I was listening to a story, I believe, on NPR in the last week or two, where the United States 20 years ago was ranked 2nd or 3rd in infrastructure, and how countries like China, India, Germany, other countries have surpassed us, and where I believe we rank 28th or 30th in infrastructure. We're America. You know, we built the steel industry. We created the technologies that these countries are now using to take their infrastructure well past our infrastructure.
You come from the tech industry, though.
Right.
It appears that the industry managed to cross that chasm with fiber optics and be able to do that from a broadband standpoint on the private sector rather than the government sector. So
Sure. Why
is it that the transportation companies have not banded together to resolve that issue?
The road infrastructure, the bridge infrastructure has always been considered a public asset, save for some private toll roads, but even the toll roads. And we rely on our government to create infrastructure spending that, you know, we share the roads with the cars that we drive. We rely on fuel taxes and infrastructure spending by the government to save these roads. And the American Trucking Association, many of us are for an increased fuel tax that our customers would end up paying in their freight rate to pay for infrastructure spending. But it's a tax, and
There's a lot of politics
around that.
Because you've got antitrust price fixing on the other side if you try and do it from a commerce standpoint and pass it on to the Walmarts of the world.
But the American Trucking Association, which is the largest industry group that represents the transportation industry, is fervently fighting in Congress with this administration to get an infrastructure bill passed, higher fuel taxes to support infrastructure spending to get this done.
Let me shift gears a little on that. Uber has engaged with Volvo to create 20,000 self-driving cars.
Right.
Many people are wondering how far before the trucking industry becomes a self-driving trucking industry.
Right. You know, I talk to people weekly who say, oh my God, you run a trucking company, you're going to be out of business in 5 or 10 years. All the trucks are going to drive themselves.
You may not be, but your workers may be displaced.
Yeah, it's going to be some time before the driver is completely out of the truck. Uber's self-driving facility, the research facility, is here in Pittsburgh. And that technology came out of Carnegie Mellon. They hired some of their robotics students and professors that were at Carnegie Mellon. They partnered with Carnegie Mellon on that. There's a couple hundred self-driving Ubers driving around Pittsburgh, and I've spent 3 or 4 hours in the vehicles with them. There's still a lot that needs to be done to get that technology where that vehicle can be completely driving itself.
We're not at Minority Report yet.
Right. And I actually have a car that when I get on the highway, I can set the cruise control, and actually I can take my hands off the wheel and the car drives itself. And I'm looking at that technology because we need that in our trucks. So what I think we're going to see over the next 5, 10, 15 years is we're going to progress more and more as we have for the last 10 or 15 years. We have all the technology in our trucks that our vehicles have, from keeping the truck in the lane. We were one of the first companies to deploy the forward collision radar system that's now used to stop your car. We had that in our trucks 15 years ago. It then ended up in Mercedes first and other vehicles, but it actually started in our trucks. So it's been a progression. And what is going to keep happening is we want to make that truck as automated as possible, particularly on the highway. That is where the greatest risk of collision is. And of all collisions and incidents that happen on the road with a commercial truck, 85% of the time, it's the other vehicles, the passenger vehicle's fault. It's about 15% of the time where it's the actual commercial truck driver's fault. We're pretty safe out there. But we want to make it safer every day, and we want to be able to attract people that are more of an operator in the truck as opposed to a professional driver. But when my truck gets off the highway and now has to make 7 right turns and 8 left turns down either rural roads or city roads, pulling a 53-foot-long trailer, you know, the whole combination can be 65 feet long, then has to pull into a manufacturing plant, go through a gate, back down a quarter-mile-long road, hook a hose or another pipe to a trailer to unload that. Robots aren't going to do that for the next 10, 15, 20 years. There may be a day, I do believe, in 15, 20 years from now, where there will be vehicles going down the road completely automated, but we're still some time from there. What we are getting to is, you know, when we can set cruise on the highway and it will automatically assist the driver in driving the vehicle.
Which may eliminate fatigue, may allow them Absolutely. To be more. The days of the no-dose and amphetamines are behind us. Yeah.
Yes, they are. And there will be a day, I think, in 20, 30 years where the vehicles will operate themselves. We're still going to need people in those trucks, and our society is going to be faced with, what do we do with, you know, the millions of jobs? There's 2.5 million truck drivers out there today. What do you do with those people? How do you re-employ them? And so, you know, those are the things we're going to face. And there's still liability out there. You know, my customers aren't going to want to own all those trucks. There's a significant financial investment. They're going to want to contract with technologically advanced transportation companies that can provide those trucks to them. And then also complete what the mission is to deliver that potentially hazardous chemical into the right tank where it doesn't contaminate anything else, or is driving down city streets or rural roads where GPS technology may not be advanced enough to drive the truck.
Patrick, it's time for the rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Where are you from?
Name 3 of your personal core values.
Honesty, integrity, perseverance.
Who's had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My mother.
What'd you learn from her?
Persevere through the hardest of situations.
What's your favorite business book?
Favorite of all time, probably Good to Great. However, I just read Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. It's a fabulous book, has had a tremendous impact on our company.
What are you reading right now?
Great Gatsby, started last night working with my son, so I'm reading it for the second time, part of school. And also Radical Candor by Kim Scott. She came out of Google, and really just, how do you get to real honest conversations with your people and grow from it?
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Humility.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Ego.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Listen to your people daily.
Name one trait that will make an employee valuable.
Integrity.
What's your strangest daily habit?
I got a bunch. Dealing with my nervous energy. When people are in my office and we're dealing with heart issues, I start polishing my shoes.
Even your tennis shoes?
No, just the smooth leather ones.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Thank them, talk to them, spend time with them.
Well, I appreciate you letting us get to know you personally today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Sneha Shah, who will share how she learned to manage a team that's 70% millennial. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.